We have no unfinished business tonight, so I'll move on to new business. And the first item under new business is Resolution 2026-04. Resolution extending the Petersburg Economic Development Council's lease for the community cold storage property for another 5 years, and including certain seafood processing as a permitted use. If approved, this resolution will extend PEDC's lease for the community cold storage for another 5 years and will update the lease to allow limited small-scale seafood processing. Do I have a motion to approve Resolution 2026-04?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Been moved by Member Schwartz, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Meucci? Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton-Greger?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Thank you. And that motion on Resolution 2026-04 passes 6-0. Moving on here to Resolution 2026-05. A resolution approving the sole source procurement of self-contained breathing apparatus, air tanks, and face masks in the amount of $301,327 from Municipal Emergency Services and authorizing the borough manager to execute all necessary purchase agreements. If approved, this resolution will authorize Director Hankins to procure SEBA air tanks and face masks from Municipal Emergency Services, the sole authorized provider, capable of providing equipment compatible with the fire department's existing equipment in the amount of $301,327. Of this amount, $225,000 will be covered by congressionally directed spending grant funds, with the remaining $76,327 proposed to come from general fund reserves. A memo from Director Hankins is attached to this agenda item. Do I have a motion to approve Resolution 2026-05?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We moved by Member Meucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion.
I saw that Director.
Go ahead, Member Valentine.
I saw that Director Hankins brought a whole thing to show us. Can you give us a little detail on this? Thank you.
Sure. I had actually intended to invite you guys to look at it after the meeting, but I can do it right now if you would like to. It's pretty quick. I'll just move over there so you can see me a little better.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll start with the packs themselves. So this is just the frame that the tank sits in. It comprises of the receiver system for the tank. This has a quick release for the tank itself. And then all the air goes through this pass system, which is, it regulates the amount of air that's in the pack, as well as contains an alarm. So if a firefighter becomes down or still or isn't moving, it will alert and call out so we can find someone in the dark, because it's hard to see inside of a smoky building. It has these straps over here for padding, has a gauge on it, tells you how much air is in the pass control system to silence the alarm if it accidentally goes off. And then you also have your regulator right here, quick disconnect regulator. And then over on the side, you have this hose over here, which is called a buddy breather system. So if a firefighter is down and their tank is getting low, you can hook into their tank and provide them with more air directly into their mask without having to disconnect the regulator and put a new regulator on them. Keeps them protected from smoke, haze, whatever hazards that's there encountering. underneath this pass system over here, there's some electronic boards that tend to get pretty sensitive to heat damage and water damage over time. These packs were bought when they originally built the station up on the hill. It was included in the funding for the building. And so that's where these came from. So we have the masks and the regulators themselves. The masks are handed out individually to the firefighters because they have to fit the profiles of their face. So there's different sizes, different faces, all that. Each firefighter is tested when they first get this mask to make sure that they have a tight seal. And then it only allows for air to be breathed in, and then it exhales through this little port over here, which, you know, all the carbon dioxide doesn't build up inside the mask. There's certain firefighters wear glasses inside of theirs. We buy that specialty for them, for those who need corrective lenses. You can't wear your normal glasses while you're wearing this, so we do that as well. This is an attachment that the association bought to make it easier because to understand people when they speak, because it's hard to understand when you have this up on your face. You'll see in the quotes that we've included in the that I provided in the packet, there is multiple sizes of masks, and the reason is because if you just got 30 of one type of mask, if someone needs a different mask, then you don't have the size that fits them. So we try and have a variety for when members leave and don't leave. And this mask is about 6 years old, starting to get pretty scratched up. Occasionally we have to cycle these out. This is a consumable, considered a consumable item. The regulator, when it plunks in, clicks in like this, creates a tight seal. As soon as they do this, the firefighter breathes in, it activates flow coming in from the regulator into the mask. There are lights in here in the nose of this that allow you to visually see how much air is left in the tank. It's just a color-coded system from green, yellow to red. When this starts to get down low, it'll start buzzing when it gets to about 20% left in the tank. And then the whole thing will buzz, you'll feel on your face, and then it's time to get out, switch out with someone else, or get a new tank. The tank itself, this is a 45-minute bottle, so meaning it, on average, if the firefighter is using their air as most firefighters who typically wear this tank would wear, this would have about 45-minute supply of air. The does have a quick release. It's controlled just by a valve right here. This tank doesn't have any air in it. Well, a little bit, just a little. Because it does have a bad valve. This is one of the tanks that we've taken out of service. It does have a, see, that's not supposed to be like that. This is where it has a one-way valve to sit there, screw in, and to attach to our SCBA compressor, which is actually at station one. We carry one bottle in the pack in the seats of the fire truck, ready to go. And then another additional bottle in little compartments on the outside of the truck so we can exchange them quickly so we can swap out for air. And the original tank can get sent back to the station so it can be refilled in case we have ongoing operations. The tanks that we're trying to get to, you'll see in the packet, we have information about the new tanks or packs that we're trying to get. We're going to a less bulky pack. And we're removing some of the features on it. We're removing the buddy breather system on it because we're transitioning to something called a RIP pack, which is used for rapid extrication. It's a special dedicated pack that you can run out, and it does the same thing as a buddy breather system, except it's not attached to your pack, so you're not drawing down one tank for two firefighters. We'll have additional weight savings, and it won't be so bulky. So if we're operating in tight spaces, we'll be able to maneuver more agilely. We're moved to 35-minute bottles. We're going to a wireframe pack, less bulky, all that stuff. So I just brought this just to kind of show you kind of what we're doing. You'll notice one last thing. See this gray here? This is actually carbon fiber. This is not a steel tank. It's a composite tank. They do, you know, this in the pack are what's currently regulated at that 15-year mark explained in my letter. After 15 years, cannot use this. And because it's a piece of personal protective equipment, you open yourself up to tremendous liability if you keep using it after its recommended use. What we've experienced in the last couple years since I started having issues with these is cracking at the stem of the tank, which is why this can do this. It's because the tank or the carbon fiber is starting to split, and so then it's not holding the valve stem in, and it makes it so you can just release it, which is not good. So that's why we're asking for the new equipment. We were very thankful for Murkowski's CDS award to us. We're hoping to match that with an additional $76,000 to complete the purchase, get it all done at once before these tanks expire in 2027. So, anyway.
Other questions? Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll on the motion?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor. Looks like you're muted.
Hey Jay, you're Jay. Muted.
Yes, Mr. Mayor?
Yep. Go ahead.
Taking a roll on resolution 2026-05.
Yes, sorry, I thought I went through. I was obviously muted. My apologies.
Thank you. Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that resolution 2026-05 passes 6-0. Moving on then is resolution 2026-06, a resolution opposing Alaska Board of Fisheries Proposal 170, 171, and 172, which seeks to improve statewide reductions and moratorium on salmon hatchery production. If approved, this resolution will affirm the borough's support for stable science-based hatchery management by opposing statewide restrictions that could undermine local fisheries, economic activity, and community sustainability. Do I have a motion to approve resolution 2026-06?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Schwartz, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. And I think Member Martin brought this to our attention here. If you want to like kind of like give some background to it, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I asked to have this put on it. Thanks for Clerk Regula for coming up with the resolution language that we're accustomed to. That was nice. I didn't have to try to fumble around with that. These hatchery, we call them anti-hatchery proposals in the fishing industry. They've been coming up regularly in the Board of Fish cycle for each region, and they came up last year in the Southeast Board of Fish cycle and pretty soundly defeated, but they keep coming back, and this time it appeared at the statewide cycle. And they're mainly aimed at issues outside of Southeast. And, you know, I know there are different opinions about hatcheries, but this one especially being statewide, the Department of Fish and Game was not for it. They feel like they have their own method of regulating the concerns addressed here. And it's hard to find anyone in this region who thinks this is a good idea. So I'll be voting strongly for it.
Member Stan Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I just wanted to echo Member Martin's comments and thank both Member Martin and Clerk Regula for putting this on the agenda. I think it impacts our region significantly, and I will definitely be voting yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? Would the clerk please call the roll on resolution 2026-06?
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stan Greger?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And again, that motion passes 6-0. Moving on with the next item on the agenda is Republic Services Municipal Solid Waste Transportation and Disposal Contract Extension. Public Works Director Moreau requests an extension of the borough's Municipal Solid Waste Transport and Disposal Agreement with Republic Services for another year. CEQAL is conducting a study of solid waste management in Southeast Alaska, and at the conclusion of the study in late 2026, we will have a better understanding of alternative solutions for the region. The monetary value of extending the contract for 1 year is expected to be between $510,000 and $550,000 at a rate of $207.40 per ton starting September 1, 2026, and continuing through the end of August 2027. Memo from Director Moreau is attached to this agenda item. Do I have a motion to extend the waste transportation disposal contract?
So move.
Second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Meachie, second by Member Martin. Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Member Stanton Greger?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that to extend the contract for 1 year of the transportation disposal contract passes 6-0 also. Next item is the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority CEQAL alternative representative appointment. Appointment of Assistant Public Works Director Thomas Rummel as the borough's alternate representative to the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority. This appointment provides backup representation for CEQAL meetings and decisions when the borough's primary alternative director role is unavailable. Without any kind of disagreement, I'd like to appoint Assistant Public Works Director Thomas Romo to that position. Moving on, a letter of interest for appointment for the Planning Commission. The Assembly has received a letter of interest from Thomas Kowalski to serve on the Planning Commission until October 26. His letter is presented for the Assembly to review as part of this packet. Again, without disagreement, I will appoint Thomas Kowalski to serve on the Planning Commission through October 2026. Okay. With that, moving on, the communications for this month are in the packet, or for this meeting are in the packet. And then we move on to Assembly discussion items. And under that, I have Assembly member comments. And I'll start with that. I'm going to come back to that. Let me go to, there's two other items under discussion here. First is the housing working group. Member Meachie requested this agenda item. So I will turn over the discussion to Member Meachie.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know you and I have talked about this a couple of times, and I was just curious where we are on maybe moving this a little farther along on the process, and I just wanted to hear some of your thoughts. I know several of us have talked about it over the last several months, and I keep hearing about it from community members, and I was just trying to get a lay of the land here on where we were at. Thank you.
It's probably a good time to bring the subject up. We haven't been totally quiet, and I'll let the manager weigh in first, and then I'll follow here.
So through the mayor, we're trying to work through some of the issues that came out of the housing survey. And one of those is trying to make sure we have enough units that we're heading in the right direction. And really where we've fallen a little bit short is the issues of multifamily. So I've been working with a local architect to kind of build, I call them pretty pictures, but what could we do over on those four lots on 8th Street that are zoned multifamily and that the borough already owns? When she's, you know, I need to get permission for that. She got me a quote back just recently. It's about $1,500. We can work that into the budget. And again, that's to give the assembly something, or community group, whichever, something to work with that says, okay, here's what we could do from a multifamily perspective in those areas. I'm also working on a list of these kind of things that we may, that the assembly may want to adopt before we start selling all of these single family lots that are going to be available. So for example, must be for your person, your residence, not a, you know, income property, or we want it to be, you know, one lot per person, not somebody buying four lots and putting one house in the middle. So, anyway, so I've been working on that list with Liz, and it slowed down a little bit with her being out of the office, but we want to try to get that something to the assembly. Beyond that, I guess I would say, what do we want a housing committee to do? And that's really something the assembly has to weigh in on. I can give you my ideas, but it really comes down to what does the assembly want that group to do? The other group, you know, their main focus was getting that housing survey done, and they met for quite a while, and they had came up with three potential lots to put on the market. Well, the number of lots to put on the market haven't changed, so we kind of need to, if you're going to put a committee together, I'd recommend that the assembly decides what you want the committee to do. Otherwise, they're going to not know exactly what direction you want to go. So anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
There was four or five items that we came up with that we all agreed that they would be priorities. You've addressed a couple of them, Steve. One addressed the other. I don't remember them all off the top of my head. But we need to, we agreed we would address all those at once some point, you know. But I heard you say earlier that we wanted to start with the first couple and then concentrate on that. Are we still at that same?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I don't really have a great understanding of what the assembly wants a committee to do. I mean, the two items that were on my list was look at 8th Street and work on this list of, you know, what rules do we want to put in place? Because the borough's getting nine lots on Klingit and Haida, and we've got a couple of other lots that are, you know, in our hands that are potentially available for sale. What does the assembly want the rules to be for selling those lots? And the assembly has to weigh in on that. I mean, I can decide it, but it needs to come from the assembly. Those are my two issues. Beyond that, I don't have a great understanding for what the assembly wants this committee to do.
Let me jump in there a minute. As I said under the mayor's report, there's two bills before the legislature right now that I would like to see changed so that would allow us to borrow money from the state to be able to put infrastructure locally. But then when we sell the lots, we can pay that money back. You know, we have the land. We can pay the money back. Where I'm going to get with this, and I also have a meeting, a couple other meetings with it, but where I get with this, I'll let you know next go around. But my idea, our idea at the time we talked about was being able to having more lots for sale. But to do that, infrastructure has always been our problem. And if we're going to expand in any way, we need more housing. I know of a couple of teachers have already talked to me about they can't buy a house because there isn't anything available. And what is, they simply can't afford, you know, when you bring young people to town. So that's another issue.
Thank you. No, I was just curious. I understand what you're saying about looking for direction, and I'll work on that over the next several weeks and try and flesh out some of the thoughts that I have about moving it forward. And I don't know if any of the other assembly has anything to add, but I just wanted to know where we were in the process.
Okay. Member Stan Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My brain goes back to our conversation with Director Cabrera several months ago in terms of when we got a thorough, I don't know what the right term is, explanation of the current projects in the works and the ones potentially pending. in order for myself to get on board for a housing task force, I guess I would want a really clear scope. So I'm glad Member Mucci, that he's going to try to refine that up to something he wanted to do, because I think right now, although like many communities, our housing options are inadequate, I'm encouraged by the things we have coming down the pike. So thank you.
Member Martin.
Yeah, I've been a little bit surprised how formal and hard it is. Some of it's my inexperience, but it's a little bit hard to generate ideas and discuss them up here. And I could really benefit from a less formal group, maybe. You know, just let them cook. Let these ideas percolate through a lot of minds. I really liked the energy we had 2 months ago when we had that work session. But I think since then, things have started to cool off again, and I don't see it changing. There was a lot of good ideas, but it was just scratching the surface as far as vetting those ideas. So I think a task force could really help us out with that. And I think we can give them direction. We don't have to set it up and let it run like a watch. We can tune them however we want as we go, I think.
Thank you. Other comments from members? All righty. I'm going to move on to next item here is marine passenger fees, and that's Member Mucci has requested this agenda item.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, this has been on my whiteboard at home for a month or so, and I just kind of wanted to kick it out the door again. I know during the budget process, the finance director is working on an adjustment to this marine passenger fee, which will take us through several years of increases on a regular basis, so it doesn't have to come back to us on every year or whenever we want to change it. You know, it's not a lot of money for the borough. You know, I think in 2023, we realized about $40,000 to the borough from about 8,000 visitors. And while $40,000 might not seem like a lot of money, it is a lot of money for projects that are underfunded throughout the community. And I think we can find a good place to spend money like that for either community service or the library or fire EMS for all the responses they do down there. And I just wanted to push that forward, that most of the communities in Southeast have a marine passenger fee or taxes. We set ours up as a fee so that it wouldn't, so we could be flexible with it. And I'm looking forward to Jody's direction here when it comes time for the budget process. I just wanted to give you just an update on what that was going on. Thank you.
Other comments from assembly members? Member Valentine.
Thanks. Yeah, I remember seeing, I think Jody and Becky were working on the kind of language to it, so I think it's coming up. But I had sent out to everybody the study that was done, oh gosh, I don't know, I think it was 2019, of all the other communities and how they go about using this money and how it works and the rundown. So I think the language is just taking a little time, yeah. But I agree. I mean, summer's right upon us. I mean, it's damn near April, right? So, this, I think it should probably move forward here very soon, and it'll be good to get on the agenda. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. In talking with the finance director, I believe she also has two or three projects for use of that money that will come forward as part of the budget process. I don't know exactly what they are, but that's what she passed on to me today. Okay. Assembly discussion items. Does any of the assembly members have items other they want to discuss? Member Schwartz.
Yeah, real quick. We're talking about passenger fees. This has been brought up from citizens and, you know, a lot of people over the years, but fish box tax. They have them in other places. And over a decade ago, I had an assistant coach that was manager at Alaska Airlines, and he brought it up then. He said, man, there's a lot of fish leaving. Sitka does it. I know they, and I haven't looked into it much, but I could look into it more. I'd like to talk about that at some point in time.
Okay. Member Mucci.
Well, that's a great point. We've been talking about this for years, and it just takes legwork to do it. Right. And if you're willing to sit down and work with
April's
me.
April's damn near upon us. to quote a wise man.
I'm sorry, our parliamentarian is not here.
Yes.
This is not on the agenda, folks.
No, I understand.
It's not on the agenda.
Comment on.
Discussion item. Member Valentine?
Rob, thank you. I remember, actually, I think it was sometime last year, I went and asked about this, and it was just the roadblock was, I don't think anybody was against it. It was the roadblock of who is going to regulate it. And then what is the best way and most honest way to do it, right? Who's going to sit at Alaska, or are the lodges or the charter guys on board as well, added to their fees to get that fee, you know, however that is. And yeah. I remember running into that. And so I would like to definitely, if we're all going to put our heads together for a housing work group, marine passenger fee group, let's add it to it, you know, get that going. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And then, are we done? Or I got more thing I'd
like. Go ahead.
Okay. thank you. This is just kind of going back, because the way these meetings go, and especially for people that have kids, they can't stay till the very end to hear any thoughts that we may have about anything that was brought up tonight. And thank you for continuing to be here and bring your thoughts up, especially when it comes to these towers. With the feeling as though of the Mill Road one, that one I think is kind of everywhere of what Ayla was kind of echoing. And I'd like to say on just for me, can't speak for anybody else here, but I'd like to say that I don't believe we are tabling anything. However, I think it is hard to make the public aware the realistic timeline of things like this. And especially if it's already done and it's been done legally in, you know, in their way, industrial law, you know, we've already gone through that. It will just take time, and it's unfortunate because time is of the essence and everyone wants the things to be done tomorrow. And when I first ran to come in here, I had these lofty ideas as well. And then I came to find that government is a lot slower than running a business. And it's unfortunate for me as well, because I'm quite impatient. But I would hope that the people that were here this evening can hear this, is that at least on my end, it's not tabled per se. It's just it takes longer than it is expected, I guess. You know, and that's just how these things go, unfortunately. So anyhow, that's just my two cents, and I hope that they listen, and they're always welcome to talk to me. So thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Discussion. I'll move on to recognition. Does any assembly members have recognitions tonight? Member Mucci.
I have one, Mr. Mayor. Tomorrow is like the most important holiday for somebody who's not a Norwegian. My mother was an O'Leary, and so I'm really looking forward to the St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow at 4:00 downtown. I always tell people the story about when Penny was handing out potatoes out of a grocery cart going through downtown, and it sticks in my memory like it was just yesterday. So rain or shine, I'll be out there.
Some of us remember Pat Ridley in the green fire or the fire hydrants, and I think it was the 70s, so there was some streaking involved.
Member Martin.
Oh, I think Aaron has something for us back there.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't see you, Aaron.
Thank you. So tonight was supposed to be the end of my EMT 1 class. Postponed it one day just because it had to be here. But I'd like to recognize the five community members that stepped up to put in 156 hours worth of their time, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and their Sundays. And so I just wanted to list their names and ask the community to help wish them luck on their test tomorrow, one of two. It is Karin Christensen, Luke Sinclair, Sadia Orna, Eddie or Edwin Loyo, and Nick Espeseth. And so we appreciate their efforts and welcome them to the team, and hoping to one last push over the edge. So thank you.
That's great. I'm glad to see that many folks step up to the plate on that. If I could pass it, they definitely can pass it. And with that, Okay, Member Martin.
I just wanted to thank the borough staff and the mayor for hosting Congressman Begich. I got to sit in on a few things, and I think they did a nice job taking him through our needs and through both medical facilities, and I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I forgot about that already. I'm sorry, but I think that the big folks that showed him through did an outstanding job. Some of the questions that were asked were excellent, I thought, and some of the answers were talking about we talked about everything from delivering babies in Petersburg, I think, to new legislation coming on board nationally on the medicine side and in insurance. So anyhow, I thought it was well received and well done. I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you. Okay. With that, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.